What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO on your AM dial. Hiawatha Golf Course is a kind of a sacred piece of Minneapolis and beyond for a lot of different reasons if you look into it historically. But they now are, the park board's talking about taking away the back nine on that, in a place that there have been a lot of rich history of bringing golf to the city, in a place where in the urban area you can still enjoy around. And it's not that you couldn't play nine, but to take nine away, it doesn't seem like you're going to grow the game or grow the opportunities. I don't know. Darwin Dean is the CEO of the Bronze Foundation. Big junior tournament there today, and he joins us now. Darwin, thank you for joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on board, Mike. I really appreciate it.
You explain what the Bronze Foundation is.
Sure. The Bronze Foundation is about saving 18 holes of golf on Hiawatha and preserving 18 holes for the community youth of today.
How do we get to a point where it's in danger?
Well, it goes back several years before today. For example, 2014, everybody knows that Hiawatha Golf Course flooded out.
Yep.
FEMA funding was available, but all that funding did not go back into Hiawatha Golf Course. Instead, other plans were developed. And those plans, more specifically, is the current master plan of the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board today that they will be voting on next month, the 17th. And that plan includes eliminating nine holes of golf that we're trying to preserve in an alternative six plan.
Well, but so some of that money went to where? Or is that what you're trying to figure out still?
Well, no, I'm not trying to figure out. It's public record that in 2014, that FEMA funding went to other golf courses other than Hiawatha. You know, for example.
Even though it was earmarked for Hiawatha?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's keep going. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Mike. You know, there are many examples of where that funding went to. It went to, say, for example, putting a new roof on Gross. It went to part of the funding of the ski chalet over in Theodore World. So, you know, the funding was distributed amongst many other places other than Hiawatha. You know, I would say less than $100,000 of the $900,000 was spent on Hiawatha Golf Course. And even today, funding revenue from Hiawatha Golf Course isn't being put back into that golf course like it should be, because you can simply just go out, and I'd be more than happy to walk you around something like the driving range, which generates revenue. You can look at the driving range and you can tell it's neglected. But you look at the neglect and you look at the revenue that golf course generates, it's a whole different thing. It's like, where does all the revenue go to?
Okay. Explain Hiawatha Golf Course and what it's meant to the city and the opportunities that it's given. Explain to people who have never played it, seen it, or understand it, what does Hiawatha mean to the city?
Sure. Historically, Hiawatha was the first golf course in Minnesota that freely accepted African Americans to come in, play golf. Because, I mean, after all, in South Minneapolis, the community was, you know, the majority of African Americans. And people like Jimmy Slimmons, Cecil Newman, they wanted people to play golf. And so that golf course, people embraced, not just as a golf course, but as a park. also where people could gather, communicate, and talk about what's going on within the community. And that's how the Bronx itself grew into something very large like it is today. It's a celebration of Hiawatha and the African-American community.
What does Hiawatha Golf Club mean to the African-American community, to those people that have embraced it?
Well, it has a history. You can look at, you can just simply just look at where the golf course grew up at. Just north of Hiawatha is a large African-American community that embraced that golf course. Soon as it opened, African-Americans went to that park, went to that golf course, and they enjoyed those resources. And it grew. And even today, like I said, the Bronx Golf Tournament started in 1939, and today we're celebrating that same golf tournament.
Yeah, yeah, the junior tournament today, right?
We invite you to.
Yeah.
Well, we had the junior bronze today.
Yeah. Saturday, you got the other one, right?
Kids. Sir?
On Saturday, you have the other bronze tournament, right?
Saturday is the adult bronze tournament that has the rich history of inviting anyone all over the United States as an open golf tournament to come and display their ability on a championship golf course like Hiawatha is.
So what are they trying? What do they want the back nine to look like? How do they want to reconfigure it in a parkland, or what do they want it to be?
Well, what that looks like is a look at hole number 13, the par five, beautiful par five. As a matter of fact, that same par five is the par five that Tiger Woods, back in 1999, did his demonstration on.
Is that the one? Yeah.
That par five would be a dog park.
Okay.
And as you drive down past there, they would flood out and allow the berm in the southwestern part of the lake to flood out. And it would just be completely water. All the trees and all the vegetation would go away. And then around the corner would be supposedly a BMX bike park, and then maybe a putt-putt over in the corner. However, the historical back nine would be destroyed and would never, ever be the same as it is today, which is a culturally and historically important part of the African-American history in South Minneapolis.
Darwin Dean is our guest, CEO of the Bronx Foundation, as they try to fight back to the park board that on a back nine. How are you coming? Have you been able to count votes, or where are you at with it?
Well, at this point in time, as you can see with the planning part of the park board, you know, they overwhelmingly voted to move their, I'm not in favor of their master plan. I don't really want to speak out negatively about it, but there are areas of it that could be improved to include 18 holes of golf that are totally being neglected. And so with that, the park board may win their vote August 17th, but we're moving to get Hiawatha on the national registry. As a matter of fact, we have Hess Royce doing the historical research for us to assist us with trying to get Hiawatha on in the national registry. And as it moves forward through the state, then sometime next year, we hope to see Hiawatha on the national registry as a historical land site.
Can you get it done that quick before they meet?
Well,
we'll find out, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But you've got a pretty good advocate, a guy by the name of Tom Lehman. He brings a little bit of juice to this thing, and he is really passionate about keeping that 18.
Well, all I could say is I love Tom Lehman.
Yeah.
I'm one of his biggest fans, and one must not forget that, you know, he is from Minnesota, and at one point in time, one of the number one golfers in the world.
That's right.
And so I'm a big fan of Tom Lehman and his brother Jim and the people that are on a part of our commission. There's a whole group of us, I mean, that are trying to move forward with an alternative six plan that we feel that will not only purify the lake. And what I mean by that is, give you an example. There was a park in Los Angeles that had an issue. Magic Johnson put funding in it to help grow that part of Los Angeles and purify the water that was coming in through the lake. We can do the same thing with Hiawatha. We're using, as an example, Cobb Creek in Philadelphia to move forward with a similar project that we feel can include 18 holes of golf, clean up the environment, include a large area of indigenous property that, how deniable can that be? And listen to this. The park board's plan is like $45 to $63 million. Their investment in their plan cost over $1 million just to do the development. It's going to cost us about $300,000 to come up with an alternative six plan. And when we're finally said and done to implement that plan, we'd like to partner with the park board. Our plan, we're saying, will come in at somewhere like $25 to $35 million, which is still far less than the park board wants to spend on the destruction of 18 holes of golf at Hiawatha.
Well, Darwin, you keep us posted on this because it sounds like you've got some momentum and inertia. We'll try to get the park board on here, their side of the story, but sounds like you're fighting a pretty good, clean fight there, so keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for hearing me, and I really appreciate your attention on this, Mike. I really do. Thank you very much. We invite you to come out. We invite the mayor of Minneapolis, St. Paul, even the governor. And please, you yourself, I'd like to see you again. I've seen you on more than one occasion and shaken your hand. But I welcome you to Hiawatha, July 30th. There's a 9 o'clock shotgun start. We welcome everybody. And at the end of the day, there will still be entertainment at Hiawatha Golf Course.
As long as you don't make me play, I'll be there. Because you wouldn't want that for your course either. Hey, thank you so much, though, Darwin. We'll talk soon.
I enjoyed you. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You bet. Darwin Dean, Hiawatha Golf Course, in not in limbo, but talking about 18 to a 9. I mean, my gosh. That just doesn't – I don't understand why you want to do that right now. I don't know. We'll look more into it. We'll get more information on it. But Darwin Dean certainly has some different thoughts on it. When we come back, I brought this up earlier. When somebody tells you you're not good enough, and how did you react? I'll ask Chris Tubbs because he's got a good story to tell about that when we come back. Welcome back, Sports with Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins and Padres tomorrow night right here on your home to the Minnesota Twins. A little later start, 8:40, first pitch, 8 o'clock pregame, etc. Sports with Max taking you up to it. We opened the show by asking about times that maybe you were told you weren't good enough, a boss, a coach, a something, maybe a parent, maybe a brother, maybe a neighbor, but that it had a profound impact on you one way or the other. Either you quit doing what it was that you wanted to do and you went a different direction, or you said, I will prove to that person that I'm better than what they said. Either way, it's a it can be a life-defining or at least career-defining moment in time. And Tubbs, you were talking about some of the things that, you know, we've all got some in our background. Somebody says, you suck, blah, 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 blah. Or at least they put up a roadblock, if only temporary, for what they believe that you're supposed to do with your life. Mm-hmm. You've had that as well.
Yeah, I've had it, you know, plenty of times where people are just, you know, you're just... You want to do this now, you probably, you know, you're not going to be good enough. And the thing is, like, what you want to do at 17 or 18, I mean, you know, Maxie, that very well might change because as you grow, life's an evolution and your interests change.
Well, the other thing is, and this is so true in colleges, you go there thinking you want to major in this, but you really don't even know what
that means. Then
you get a major and you get an internship and you go, well, this isn't what I thought it was. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, and I thought I saw there were numbers a couple years ago. Research studies said that people, on average, If you go to a four-year college, you change your major on average six times.
Six?
Yeah, because you'll go in and you're just taking electives, and then you're, oh, you know, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do this. I will tell you from a personal standpoint.
Did you major in this off the top?
Me? Yes. Yeah. I was fortunate that I always had a big mouth and I always felt like I had something to say.
Yep.
And whether or not people wanted to hear it, I was going to force my way into it. But I mean, I always loved mass communication, and I've always wanted to be in radio and sports, and it was just something that was always a passion of mine. I'll tell you that, you know, a personal story that I was telling you, Maxie, that my wife, we were just having this conversation a couple of weeks ago, because you know, our daughter is, I played sports, my wife played sports. We're into that side, but our daughter is into the theater. She's into the arts. She's into a lot of that. And I was too. And my wife and I both decided that no matter what we want, it doesn't matter if our daughter, you know, she's 12, if she wants to go into this, we are going to let her cultivate her own interest and we're going to let her become her own person. Well, my wife, when she was in high school, she had her high school counselor, you know, like, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, I really want to be a photographer. Counselor looked at her and said, no, you're not going to be a photographer. You should do something else. Well, she was blown away. And she's like, I mean, I'm 17 years old here. You wanted to know what I wanted to do, and you're telling me I shouldn't. And over the course of time, you know, she ultimately didn't do the professional photography as, you know, as a profession. But throughout all of her journeys in life, I mean, she was in the military. She was a Russian linguist. She was a journalist for the Jefferson City Tribune, which is the newspaper in Jefferson City, Missouri, the capital of Missouri. And she shot her own, you know, shot her own photos, you know, wrote her story, kind of did everything for the Jeff City Tribune. And we look back on it, and while she didn't do it as an occupation independently, it was part of what she wanted to do, and she did do it. And right now, you know, she has a very good job, here in the cities, and it isn't involving photography. But I just kind of get taken back, Maxie, by some people who you're going to tell a kid at 16 or 17, no, you're not going to do it. It's like, how do you know what they're going to be in 2, 3, 4? How do you know what they're going to be successful at? Because people change.
People change, and as a couple of our callers pointed out, you really don't know what they've got in their heart. You don't know how hard they'll work, because maybe you were never a hard worker that's given the advice. You
yeah,
know? I know somebody that wrote a teacher back just recently, 30 years, probably 30 years, I don't know what, round about, and said, you told me I should not consider college. Well, not only did I get my degree, but I've made a hell of a lot more money than you have in your life, and I just want to make sure that you know that, because I don't know who else you gave bad advice to, but I'm one of the people that you did, and you should know how dumb it was for you to say that.
Yeah, and there's a certain amount of – I know that people – you hear the, you know, the best revenge is living well, right?
Yeah.
But there's – come on, Maxie. I mean, let's be honest. There's a certain percentage that when somebody tells you you can't do it and you do it, don't you just want to shove it in their face?
You want to spike the ball in their
absolutely
face after you score the touchdown.
I'm gonna gloat. I'm gonna throw up the deuces. I'm gonna spike the ball. I don't care what the penalty is. I'm better.
Give me a 15. I'm okay with that.
I'm better than you, and I know it. Like I did this in spite of you. How much do you know? Because we all want to feel like we're accomplishing something. When somebody doesn't have that confidence in us, especially somebody that's supposed to be a mentor, right? Somebody that we look up to, and you can't do it. When you do it, you want to gloat. I think it's just human nature, even though we're not supposed to. But I mean, let's be honest. We all like to be a little spiteful. We're all spiteful in some way, shape, or form.
I know. Yeah, I mean, and I never know if that's a gift, if that's the juice you need, or if it's a cross that you bear. It's a fine line, isn't it?
It really is. There is a little bit of apprehension that you have to have with it. I mean, you can't be over the top and be a jerk about it. But at the same time, what's wrong with telling somebody, dude, look at what I did. You told me I couldn't do it. I did it. So what did you know?
Yeah, I mean, so maybe you should be careful going forward with how you handle the next kid.
Absolutely. I mean, don't.
And on the other side, I guess what I do understand the other side is, there are people that could be genuinely looking out for your best interest, saying, you know, Chris, we don't think you should be an astronaut, you know?
But at the same time, though, when you're a child, it's different to tell somebody something at 16, 17, 18 than it is to, I mean, if you're going to tell me in my mid-40s, you know what, you shouldn't be an astronaut, I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. But if you're going to tell me that at 16 or 17, I mean, what does that do for a kid's confidence?
I agree, because you should play out the dream.
Absolutely. If you want to do it, and this is what I tell my daughter, you want to go to Hollywood and be an actress and make $1 million, you go for it. You bypass everything that your mom and I have done. But you leave us in the dust and you become so successful if that's what you want to do. We're not going to tell her that maybe you shouldn't, because there's something to just give somebody some confidence when you're young, because that can catapult you, even if you don't fulfill that dream.
Believe,
absolutely.
Yeah, you should not have been an astronaut, because Mars is not the kind of place to raise a kid. In fact, they tell me it's cold as hell.
Oh,
there's no one there.
Maxie, I'm not a rocket man. Okay.
Okay. Take a break. Come back. His name is Robert Weber, and I mean to tell you, they got quite a baseball tournament going on out in Burnsville this weekend. We'll explain when we come back. Well, there you go. 0 out of 9 a.m. How did I know that? See, so if you want to be an astronaut, this is what you need to think about. These are the things you're going to have to do, Chris. It's not so simple.
I'm already motivated.
Bubblehead. I mean, these are some of the he chronicles in this song, some of the things you need to really think about.
You know what? I'm going to put in my resignation, moving back to Houston. I'm going to go to NASA.
Yeah, you've been down there. You know a little bit about this, but Elton does a good job of spelling it out for you. And I'm just saying, at least reconsider. Okay. Okay. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Joining us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only Robert Weber of Stewart and Jeffers fame and beyond. The State Legion Baseball Tournament is on, and that is a time-honored tradition. The 97th version of the State Legion Baseball Tournament in Burnsville, Shakopee, and beyond, and it kicked off today, and it is something we should celebrate more here in the state of Minnesota. But Robert, you were in the middle of it. What do we got going today? There's 16 teams, and this is a different format, because you go pool play right into a single elim. But the beautiful part about this is when you see the Legion, the military, the veterans come together and remind us what they did for us so that we could play baseball. And I sometimes it's lost when we say Legion baseball, because we just think about baseball. But boy, that is a big piece of it, isn't it?
It is, Maxie, and thanks for having me on tonight. And thanks for being at our banquet last night. That was awesome. And I thank our guest speaker, John Kreisel.
Yeah, he was great.
Home run for us, yes, and brought the message home that it is about honoring our vets. It's about honoring the great game of baseball. And sportsmanship is at the top of the priority list. And we had a great day here at Burnsville, and I know they did at Shakopee and Prior Lake as well.
You're a product of Legion Baseball. Who did you play Legion Baseball for?
Well, you mentioned it, the mighty Stewart and Jeffers Legion program.
Yeah, because the high school was just converted into a Legion team in the summer, right?
Correct, yeah, and my buddy Jim Meyer told us that we consolidated with about four other communities to put together about 12 players.
Is that right? So, but you got her done.
And we had a great time. We played, our rivals would be Windham and Springfield and Sleepy Eye and New Ulm when it came to tournament time, and, of course, your home stomping grounds, Gaylord.
Did you ever pitch against Paul Burkhart?
Many times.
Did you? Yep. Lefty against lefty?
Yeah, many times. My good buddy Bill Nelson always claims, I think he tells me I was about the third or fourth best left-hander in that little area. So he always
yeah, Bill would say that, yes.
Right. And Paul Burkhart, him and I battled against each other for all of our years. I'm sure we're the same age group.
Yeah, I faced him many times over the years. And I'll tell you, the other one, the other left-hander in that same part of the neck of the woods that most guys of my era will say was one of the toughest ones they ever faced was Dave Reinhardt's out of New Ulm Cathedral and New Ulm Legion.
Yeah, Cathedral.
Yeah, yep, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, he's a year older than us, but my gosh, you couldn't explain why you couldn't hit him. You just couldn't hit him, you know?
Yeah, very good, yep. And that team was very talented. So we had a great time. Yeah. And you kind of hit it on the head. We played on a dirt infield And we had a picket fence in the outfield, yeah. and Meyer was telling me how he took his silo, the wire from his silo, and him and his dad came up and made that into our backstop. But it was great baseball. It was good memories.
Good memories.
Boys are much luckier today playing on these beautiful fields, the two at Burnsville. Joe Schlepper Stadium in Shakopee is incredible, and Veterans Memorial at Prior Lake is also awesome. So we had everybody spread out today, and the tournament moved to Burnsville, Alley Magnet Park, tomorrow starting at 10 a.m.
Yeah, Dwayne Slaughter does a great job on that ballpark in Shakopee and beyond. Those are just some gems. Explain, how big is Legion Baseball right now?
Well, you know, there's the club effect that mm-hmm. I would say 10 years ago, every single high school player in the state, if they wanted to play baseball, they were playing Legion Baseball.
Yep.
So there are different options that are out there, but it's still very strong. Some of the Minnesota Legion guys said our state has the most teams of any state in the country.
Really?
Playing Legion Ball. I thought they said about 385 communities in our state are playing Legion Baseball.
Whoa.
So it's very strong. Is the talent as deep as it was when we were playing 25 years ago, when kids were playing 10 years ago? They have some other options. But what we saw today was great energy, very talented kids. Mankato, I think, 2-0. I believe St. Michael's is 2-0. Hopkins, I believe, what kind of came in as the number one rated team. They won their first game, and Rochester just took it to them today in the second game, 9-2.
Is Mankato one team in Legion? Do they get both high schools, or do they have two teams? What do they do?
I think that they have two teams, but I am not 100% certain. And I was just checking with the Rochester A's that knocked off Hopkins today, who everybody thought was the number one seed. They were coming from Century. So Rochester for sure has four teams.
Yeah.
And the A's, Century High School, is a team that's representing them in the state tournament.
Yeah, I guess a little confusing, but Mankato West had a great team this spring, so I assume that could be the, you know, predominantly.
Yep, I'm fairly certain they have teams. I'll have to try to figure that out tomorrow as they keep going deeper into the tournament.
Now, you have pool play, and then it goes single elimination over the weekend, so you have to have a lot of pitching, don't you?
Yeah, right. for certain, or a lot of hitting, or hopefully a combination of the two.
Yeah, but you better have five or six guys that can throw strikes.
Absolutely. Their depth will be tested, and I think that usually, you know, is a great way of determining the winner. And whoever does advance from here, I believe it's the top teams that advance to the regional, and I think this year it's in Rapid City. And then the winner of that will advance to the World Series in North Carolina. So the Legion does an incredible job of organizing and putting together a first-class tournament, state tournament for the kids.
They do, and they've done it for years. But what's it been like for you guys as a community to host? Say 2020, it got bounced because of COVID. What's it like to be involved in a project this big?
It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of reward, and it's nice to see the efforts of our board. And, you know, we probably have 50 to 100 volunteers. Not just Burnsville. We have some people that are loyal Legion people, and they're calling up and they say they want to volunteer because they do this every year wherever the tournament is. So it's kind of an army of people, and it happens fast. And we only get to hold it. Last time we did it was 2008, and our people that are running the tournament were not involved with it then. So we're learning a lot and trying to put forth as good of an experience as we can.
What's the key to that, do you think?
I would say a lot of committed volunteers, you know, to make a great event, at least every effort to make it a great event for the kids. You know, love of baseball. The Legionnaire people that are doing it, they're all volunteers. The people that are helping us that are on our board, volunteers, but I think they had great baseball memories. Great experiences from playing Legion Ball, and just want to continue to give it back. And specifically us in Burnsville, our numbers have declined over the years for various reasons. One of them is club, and we want
to have a great program that our kids recognize is affordable, it's fun, and gives them an opportunity to compete at a very high level. So just giving back, you know, whether it's me or any of our board people, you know, just moving it forward, giving everybody else a great opportunity.
You also coach at the high school level in Burnsville. You know, we hear about numbers dropping in baseball in general and trying to keep kids engaged. What do you see up close?
In Burnsville specifically, a fairly significant decline at all levels, from our in-house to our T-ball to our peewees to our traveling to whatever. I can't quite, you know, put my finger on a reason why that is exactly, other than I think we're a mature community and the ring, you know, the outer ring just continues to move out. So the Farmingtons, the Rosemonts, the Shakopees, the Prior Lakes, the Lakevilles continue to they just have more kids. So, and, you know, maybe just a little better opportunity to get into the sport at a young age. But in our mature community, we really do our best to put together a fun program for the kids. And we've noticed the last couple of years that our numbers are up a little bit more at the Legion level.
And, then, you know, Rosemont fields four Legion teams. They were telling me last night. So they don't cut anybody. So if you want to play, you get to play. And I think that's a great start to it.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. They are very strong, and you talked to Brady, who kind of oversees their program, and they're doing all the right things at Rosemont. And Rosemont was in the state tournament today as well, and last year. So things are going well with them. And then they just really promoted strongly. I know there are certain teams that almost all their kids from high school stick together and play Legion ball, again, the way it was maybe 10 years ago. So that's kind of nice to see as well.
Great to see you last night. You guys keep up the good work, and it looks like you're going to have some good weather to work with. So continued success, but to all of you that have worked so hard on it, and I know you've been in the middle of it, great job on a job well done on getting these kids a great opportunity.
Thanks, Mike. You were a huge part of the success last night, so we appreciate what you do as well. Keep the good work.
Anytime. Robert Weber, nice enough to join us. The old lefty from Storton Jeffers on News Talk 830 WCCO. Yeah, a couple messages came through from John Creasel last night. The veteran lost both of his legs while being deployed in Iraq. And he was IMC, but he's a feature speaker. And I'll share a couple of those takeaways that are so good for all of us. Take a break, come back, Sports to the Max and WCCO. So last night we had the State Legion baseball banquet in Burnsville, and I mentioned, I get there, and who do I run into? It's at Brackett's Crossing in Lakeville. And who do I run into? They're minding his own business, just coming off the 18th, but Dave Lee. Gosh, was that nice to see him, visit with him, and he just played, I don't know if that's his home course, but I think he plays a lot of rounds there. And he came in, and then, of course, a lot of people know him or know of him, and they come over and want to meet him. And he's a baseball guy, and the guys that are there are baseball guys. And so we end up sitting out there in the lobby talking, what else, baseball. And, you know, different games, different people, different things, but it was just so fun to reconnect with the D-man again and visit with him for some time and to see all the baseball people that came up to him and wanted to talk to him and wish him well, make sure he was doing well and everything was good. And it is, as to be expected, but he's healthy and happy and having fun and living the good life, as I tell him, out there in that area and certainly playing a lot of golf and all those things. But he's having fun doing it, and it was fun to see David Peely last night at the at Lakeville. And John Creasel was the feature speaker. He's a veteran who was also a politician at one time for a couple of years. But he lost both of his legs underneath his knee when he was on patrol in Iraq. And his story of the culmination of that night and how it got to there, pretty interesting. You know, man, you're playing a game with insurgents there that you just, oh my gosh.
Yeah, Kreese is so motivating.
Yeah, and you took us through the thing, and he went process by process how, why he signed up, and then he talked about going over there you know, you're just on guard duty for a while, and then eventually they let you out, and you're teaming with the Marines, and he He ends up, they medvac him. He lost two friends, and they medvac him to different. I don't want to read his speech because it's his speech. But his point is that he's never been happier in his life now, even though he doesn't have his two legs, because he's learned how to appreciate life, because he's decided to make the decision in life, and that his brain and his attitude will take him to where he wants to go, not his physical stature. And so that was really, I think, an important message for the kids that are, you know, the high school kids that are invincible Legion players this time, 16 teams, et cetera. So good to listen to him and see that. Now, I want to get to one more text here, Tubbsy. Says, my high school girlfriend's dad was a successful businessman who told me I'd never amount to a hill of beans. He eventually sold his business for $5 million. After I complete the sale of my second business for $2 million in a month, I will sell both my businesses for a total of $8 million. That's putting it on the plate, huh?
So let me get this straight. You've got somebody who sold a business for... what did he sell it for? $5 million?
His girlfriend's dad sold that, and this is the guy that told him that he'd never amount to anything. And now what he's saying is, in the end of the day, guess who sold their businesses for $3 million more than he did?
How many times can you look at somebody who has sold a business for $5 million and say, nah, 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 nah? Like, how many times can you one-up somebody?
Yeah, that's pretty good up, though.
Assuming
that he doesn't have a great deal of debt, obviously, sometimes you can, you can sell it for $5 million, but you owe $4.98, you know.
Yeah.
So it depends, but assuming that it was a good deal for you, that's a big number.
Yeah, we're going to assume there's no debt and you clear it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like having a mortgage and you sell the house, you made money on it, but did you make as much as the number is that you sold it for?
Hey, it doesn't matter. It's still a number. It's a number. It's a number you can tell people, Maxie, even if it doesn't mean anything. It's still a number that sounds good in conversation.
Yeah, especially when you get into those multi-million-dollar areas.
Yeah, I'll never know.
Yeah, you might. You never know, Tubbsy. That astronaut thing.
I am playing Mega Millions tomorrow.
Let me tell you, that astronaut thing ain't over yet. I'm just telling you. But Mars is not the kind of place for your family.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.